to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light, He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, 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 good morning, friends. How's everybody doing this morning? Hopefully you're all doing well. Hopefully all had a good weekend, and just that you're doing well. That's the key thing. So I had a good weekend in many ways. Busy. I've been way too busy of late, but it was a great weekend. I was all the way down in South Berwick, Maine yesterday, which you can go a little lower in Maine, but this is right on the, I mean, you drive to the edge of South Berwick and you're in New Hampshire. That's where South Berwick is, way over there. And yesterday, I wasn't speaking in the service, but I was doing a consultation with their deacons after the service and broader leadership team. They need a pastor, but they can only afford a part-time pastor at this point in time. And so just talking through what that means, you know, what are expectations for a part-time pastor versus when they used to have a full-time pastor, you know, things change. And so just was with them. Long drive, 2 hours and 20-minute drive to get down there. So 4 hours and 40 minutes on the road yesterday. But it was a nice day, good weather. And then I got home in time for a school board meeting last night. Our school board meetings are much better than the ones that our dear friend Steve has been a part of, I'm sure. And excited about the coming school year, where we're going, where we're heading, what's happening. Excited about our board. If you'd ever want to be on the board of a college, you know, let me know. I mean, now some of the things that we require of people on a board of a college, you need to be a person willing to get friends together to sit down and hear some presentations about the school. That's what we ask board members to do. They're responsible also to aid in the fundraising component. But anyway, it was a good weekend in many ways. Friday, Saturday, I was at a homeschooling event in Augusta and talked to lots and lots of people. I like to talk to people. And so that was good. This week, I'll be gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday again this week. But I've reserved Sunday so far. I could get a call to go somewhere, which I will. So far, looking to Sunday next week. I need a breather here. Also, working heartily on an event coming to Brewer and Brewer and Portland this summer. It has to do with the Christian culture and government, and we're bringing in some top-notch speakers. I will get you a link to this. In fact, let me see if I can type it in here. I got to remember what the link is to our website. Why Now the Church? Here we go. There it is. whynowthechurch.me is for Maine, and we are bringing in a guy that was a longtime pastor of Moody Church out in Chicago. His name is Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Dr. Frank Torek, who is a internationally renowned apologist. Another guy that was a part of the Ravi Zacharias ministry, and also Abdu Murray, who was a part of Ravi Zacharias ministry. And so it's apologetics to a certain measure. Dr. Lutzer is going to deal with this phrase, what is Christian nationalism? What is the right type? If you know, you can be for God and country. But he's going to talk about how that has been all over the map and what it should look like for a Bible believing Christian. Carol Conley from the Maine Christian Civic League will be a part of that, and hopefully a couple of representatives. And it's a day for Christians to understand our role in culture and governance of our cities, towns, state, country. You know, just what is Christian response to that? So that is coming. I put the website there for you to see. In fact, maybe I can, let me do this. I'll open it up so I can show you the website real fast. And there. Let me put this up so you can see it. There it is. Why Now the Church? I just walk you through it. Today, more than ever, the church and the people of God need to come together and prayerfully discern what is our role in today's culture. What practical steps can we take to make a difference? And here are some of the speakers. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, the famous, if you think of Moody Bible Institute, Moody Church, Dwight L. Moody. Erwin Lutzer was the pastor of that church. Carol Conley, executive director of Maine Christian Civic League. Dr. Frank Turek, author and the president of Christian Apologetics Ministry. And then Abdu Murray, the president of Embrace the Truth Ministry. So it just gives you an idea. Catered events, Jeff's Catering in Brewer, and the Italian Heritage Center down in Portland. Get signed up now, folks. There are only about 400 seats available at each venue. So follow the link that is included there, whynowthechurch.me. And anybody that's listening that maybe isn't a part of Veracity, those of you that are a part of Veracity Chapel, put the pressure on your pastor. He needs to consider going to this. Now, I don't know when the Mexico mission trip is. I don't recall, might be right in the middle of it, so he won't be able to go, but say, Pastor, we need to be talking about this because the church does have a role in culture. And, you know, the church, when the church does its part in culture and society, things happen like hospitals, things happen like medicine, things happen like education. So much of what we have currently, this isn't the direction I was planning to go this morning, but so much of what we see, at least the beginnings of science, the beginnings of wonderful art, the beginnings of wonderful writing, the beginnings of higher education, I mean, medicine, invention. Christians were behind that, folks, and we need to come back to being engaged in all of that. So there it is again, just one more quick little whynowthechurch.me, something that you can, okay, Jess has put it up there for us, and good morning, Jessica, the Mexico mission trip, the 12th and the 21st, but get that up there and just get yourself signed up to go and take some folks with you. We're really hoping for a really, really good, powerful, and impactful event over there. So you've led somebody to Christ, and now you're going to disciple them. Now, the group I sat with yesterday, we were talking about the fact that, you know, so many people will lead somebody to Christ, and it's like, I never got discipled. I was a fortunate one. I got discipled. The people that, they didn't lead me to Christ, but they were such a key part in my coming to Christ. And their son and I were best friends in high school, and they had a huge impact in my life. But they invited me into their home every day. They didn't actually give me like an invitation, come every day. That wasn't what it was, but because their son and my and me were such good friends, they. I just went there every night after barn chores. Growing up on a farm, had to do the barn chores every night. The cows were fed, the cows were milked, the basic chores were done, and I would leave and head over to their house, and we would sit and discuss scripture and the Christian life for a couple hours every single night. And interesting. Not sure what's happening over there. I'm looking at where the broadcast is, the meter, and it looks like it's running backwards somehow. I'm not going to worry about that right now. I'm going to keep going. Hopefully we're all good. If we're not, somebody will message me and tell me we're not good. But what are you going to help a young Christian learn? I was talking about those. This is kind of the theme, talking about, you've led someone to Christ. What do you want them to learn? What do you want them to see in your life? Now, one of the things that I think that we would want a young Christian to see in our life is our worship. How do we worship? What do we look like in worship? If they were to follow our example, what would that example look like? Are we a bored worshiper? Are we an unengaged worshiper? Are we a critical worshiper? Just what would we be imparting if we were to take another person and okay, we're making disciples, we're supposed to be disciples. So if we make them to be like what we are, how do we help them to grow? What would they see? What would be their encounter? What would be their experience? And for me, and I shared this before a little bit, I think, I would watch George and Barb and how they worshiped. I would watch their eyes close. I would watch their mouths move in prayer, especially at the end of the service. Our particular church in those days, we had an altar call every week. Now, unfortunately, the theology was kind of loose in that, you know, you needed to come to Christ every week. Well, and it was like you need to get resaved every week type thing. That's bad theology, just want to say. However, also the call was maybe you need to come and bring things before the Lord and pray and so come before the Lord. So we would go before the Lord and pray and confess and acknowledge our need of Him and those things. And You know, and so while the pastor is landing the plane of the message, I would watch George and Barb, and just their eyes would close and their lips would move. And we didn't speak in tongues or anything like that. That wasn't our MO. But I knew what they were praying about. They were praying that God would move on the hearts of people. What if we went to church and instead of, okay, are we almost done now? Our hearts were praying for God to move in people's hearts, to commit themselves to whatever the punch of the message may have been, that they would take it and apply it, and that people, if people were there that don't know Christ, that they would give their lives to Christ. And that's one of the things I got to see with George and Barb. The other thing I got to see with George and Barb was they would often just raise their hands to the Lord, you know, and I saw that in the worship. I saw them with open Bibles in their laps and pens and paper. And so when the message was being given, they're taking notes and that type of thing. That was what I saw they never said to me, "Now, Jim, do what we're doing." They never did that. They never said, "So you need to close your eyes and move your lips." They never said that to me at all. They weren't just moving lips. I'm sure of that they were praying, thinking about people that needed the Lord, or people that needed to, or even their own selves needing a response to the gospel that was being preached. We all need the gospel, and not a response to the gospel of get saved, but a response to the gospel of, you know, my life needs to be changed, and so. Or I need to apply this to my life. That is one thing that I saw. But why worship? Because God is worthy. That's why, and that's where I really need to try to take us here this morning. The thoughts of God's worthiness. God is worthy of our praise. And so let me share with you just some verses here. About God's worthiness. Why is God worthy? Several verses that speak to God's worth. And my screen changed here. 12 reasons why God is worthy. Characteristics of God. Different praises that I would share. Psalm 19, verse 1. Let me get us over to scripture on this other screen. And we can look at reasons why God is worthy directly from the scriptures. Let me get over to this screen. And Psalm 19 and verse 1. Here you go. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens, it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Talking about the sun. But the heavens declare the glory of God. A wonderful truth for us. God is worthy because he is glorious. Exodus chapter 40. Let me take us over to Exodus chapter 40 and consider a few verses from Exodus chapter 40 at the end of the book. The glory of the Lord. Final chapter, book of Exodus. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. This is where Moses would go to meet with God. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night in the sight of all the house of Israel during their travels. Just the reality that God was so very, very glorious. Psalm 104 says this, "The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent." This is our God doing these things. Let me show you another verse from 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles let me read this verse first before I go there. Deuteronomy chapter 10, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." This is God. This is the God that we know. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we follow. David says this, Psalm 135, verse 5, "I know the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods." First Chronicles chapter 29, let me go there. I've got so many cameras and screens open right now, I don't remember which way I'm going. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. Again, last chapter here. Of this book. And here's an example even of worship in the assembly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God, our Father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And I relate much with what David says here in verse 14, "But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" And they were giving for the temple. "Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." I mean, this gets into stewardship. This gets into the offering that's given. This gets into our posture in how we worship. And my encouragement to us, and I'm speaking to myself even as I speak here, is that we would learn how to come in to the worship place, the sanctuary, the worship center, whatever term might be called, churches call that room, the auditorium, whatever it's called, that we would come in and not be thinking about what's everybody going to think of me, or is it too warm today? Is it too cold today? Is the bass too loud today? Is the, you know, to be able to lay those things aside because of the sheer, utter gloriousness of God. And that if we were bringing a young disciple with us, that they would see us engaged in worship, that they would see our eyes closed, that they would see our lips move, that they would maybe see our hands raised. Now, you know, you don't have to be a all the way up type person, but maybe just some expression, but that you come in intently determined to engage with God in worship. Why? As David says here, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God our Father, from everlasting to everlasting, for yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. That would be the attitude of our heart, that would recognize that everything comes from him. And that his is the kingdom, and that he is exalted as the head over all things, that we would be in that place with God, to acknowledge him in this way. I mean, we read some similar things in the book of Romans, the last few chapters of the last few verses of Romans chapter 11. Verse 33, 34, 35, 36 says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." The worthiness of God, and that we would have this high view of God and his worthiness in worship. The conclusion of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 5, it gets into, I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne and a scroll with writing on both sides and revealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals." And it says this: "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes. There were seven spirits of God sent out of all the earth. He came. He took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne," that would be God, "and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before that lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they reign on the earth.'" You've made them, verse 11. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels." I wish I could play songs on here, but I can't because of copyright issues, because so many songs come to mind that I would play, friends. It says, "The voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircled the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. And this will be what will happen in eternity: to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." To fall down. I mean, this is the truth about God that we would want these young followers of Christ to understand, to know, to live, and to grasp, and for we ourselves to grasp these truths in our own hearts. That it changed. that we would grasp these truths in our own hearts and worship the King and worship the Lord. And as Michael puts in here, and welcome, Michael, glad to have you as a listener, from Isaiah 6. There's so many passages we could go to that talk about it. The exclamation of the greatness of God from Isaiah 6:3, and one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Friends, if we're working with a young disciple, what do they experience in our worship? What truth do we give them about what the worship of God? And friends, we have just worshiped God today in the reading of Scripture. It doesn't have to be at church. It can be driving in your car with worship music on. Be careful that you don't start speeding. It can be going around your house with worship music playing. It can be sitting down on the bay, looking at a sunrise or a sunset. I guess it would be a sunrise we'd be looking at, and worshiping God. It can be at your table to worship God. All that we would be all the more inspired in the worship of our great God. Well, friends, I'm going to get you into your day now. It is 6:30 plus, and many of you begin moving toward work and things of other things going on there. So I think there are a few other comments I just maybe need to look at here quickly over in the comments section. A little bit being said, we don't have the full amount yet, and we are doing a couple more fundraisers. I myself have all my funds, but others, oh, that's great, Jess. Praise God for that. So praise God that you have those funds. If you want to help out, you can go to veracitychapel.com/give, there's there'd be a link there, I'm sure, for missions, and you could give there if you want to support the group going to their on their mission trip. And that's the church I formerly pastored, and still our church family, our tribe there in Morrill, Maine. Well, friends, I just commit you to the Lord today. Lord, help us to be worshipers today. Help in our lives that Jesus would be dripping off of our lives, that when people encounter us, they encounter Jesus in us, that they would see the light of Christ, that they would see the love of Christ, that they would encounter the light of Christ, that they would encounter the love of Christ, and has been said that we would be salt and light to the world around us, and that because of what people see in us, Lord, people would come to Jesus. Help us to be good disciple makers. Help us to help Christians around us to be worshipers of our great God. Help us as well, Lord, to maybe we've never had a young follower before that we're discipling. Lord, I pray that many of us would begin working with somebody else that's a young convert to Christ and help them to grow up into Christ. We are called. We will be graded on being disciple makers because that's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. So, Lord, help us toward that end to bring you honor and glory and praise because you, our great King, are worthy. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, friends. I'll see you tomorrow.